Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and what a fantastic Shabbat this is. This is Shabbat Shuvu, or the Shabbat of Return. And now, before Yom Kippur, which takes place tomorrow night and Monday, we need, while the books are still open, to return to the Lord, that we all may be inscribed to life for this next year. I am so thrilled that every one of you, just like the spinning globe with all the lights, you are God's light to wherever you are. You're the one who brings light in the darkness wherever you live. And we're so grateful for all of those all over the world, all over the United States who are live streaming with us right now. And as you know, our goal here has always been to take Torah to the nations. And we are so grateful for every single one of you all over the world, again, all over the United States, that want to take the Torah to the nations. It's incredible. So let's stand and we're going to pray. And let's, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. So that's what we're going to be singing right now in Hebrew. Everybody stand and let's pray together. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praise be the name of his glorious sovereignty forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them thoroughly to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. When the word entered the world, freedom entered it. The whole Torah exists only to establish peace. Its highest teaching is love and kindness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and what is hateful to you, do not do to any person. And that is the whole Torah. Go and learn it, honoring one another, doing acts of kindness, and making peace. These are our highest duties. The study of the Torah is equal to them all because it leads to them all. So let us learn in order to teach. Let us learn in order to do. It is a tree of life to those who hold fast. All who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Help us to return to you, O Lord. Then truly shall we return. Renew our days as in the past, the days of our first love. Amen. Together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Modeh ani lefanecha, melech chai vikiyam. Shehekazarta bi nishmati bakemla rabah emunateka. Thankful is what I am before your face, O King, living and eternal, for restoring my soul within me with compassion. Great is your faithfulness. Amen and amen. You can sit down. I've got some announcements. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., right here is going to be our Yom Kippur service. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m., we're opening this up. Be sure you wear white, as you know. The white linen is symbolic of the righteousness of the saints. And so tomorrow night when you come, wear something white, even if you're not in all white. Wear white socks if nothing else, but come in white. Now, have I got some of the most exciting news for you. How many of you would love to go to Israel? Yay! How many of you know right now it's really hard because Israel's on a complete national shutdown? But guess what? We're all going to go together for the Feast of Tabernacles. Guess what? We are going to have a Feast of Tabernacles virtual pilgrimage tour to Israel. And El Shaddai Ministries has teamed up with Thule Wise of Israel Breaking News. And the good thing is, guess what? No passports or masks are required. Yay! So what we're going to do, you're going to be able to join Pastor Mark Biltz, Donna Jolay, Rabbi Thule Wise for a unique Feast of Tabernacles virtual tour of Israel. You're going to be able to see all the beautiful sights from the comfort of your own home in your jammies, if you'd like. You're going to be able to visit the holy places that you've read about in the Bible. It's going to be a free virtual tour that will take place on Zoom. Now, it's not tomorrow, but it is the next Sunday, October 4th, 2020, and we're going to do it at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That way, those of you across the United States, it'll be like 1 in the afternoon or noon or 11. Everyone is going to be able to join with us. All you have to do is register and what you're going to need is to send your email address so we can email you the Zoom link. So, and he said we can have up to 500 people on this virtual tour. So we want as many people all over the world. You can even join us on a virtual tour together at 10 a.m. Pacific time next Sunday. When you click on the register, you'll see this come up where you just put in your name, your email address. And then he wants everyone to put in the top three places they would love to have a tour of in Israel. And then he's probably going to pick the top three. And this is going to last about an hour. So we're going to have a lot of fun from 10 in the morning next Sunday, not tomorrow, next Sunday, 10 in the morning to 11 in the morning is going to be a virtual tour of Israel. Now, guess what? For all you local people who live close to El Shaddai, that same Sunday after your virtual tour that ends at 11, it's time to head over here to the office because we're going to have a big Sukkot party. Yes. Sunday, October 4th from noon until 3. It's going to be here at the office. Bring your lulavs, bring your chair, bring your pop-up, bring your food. We're going to have a great time. You can see a photograph from Google Maps where El Shaddai Ministry is. And right there on the grassy areas where you're going to have your little pop-up tents, feel free to put them there. We can't park in the grass. But look, you have the whole El Shaddai parking lot. Also, to the north at the top, there's the post office, which is closed on Sunday. So everyone can park over there at the post office. You can also park behind El Shaddai. I don't believe the mortgage company's open, so we have that parking lot. So we want everyone to come and enjoy Sukkot next Sunday. Have the virtual tour, and everyone sign up. We have a link on our website that you can go to register. So be sure and register. It's going to be for the first 500 people. And I know we have a lot of people all over the United States and all over the world watching, but you want to sign up and you can have a lot of fun. And then those locally can come. Just 1 second. Yes? Yeah, I had that. Bring food. Yes, bring food. Because we don't want to have the cross-contamination problem thing. So do bring your own food. We'll probably have bottled water and things like that. But the main thing is, I think it's supposed to be sunny. So we want to, yay. All right. Now, here's something else I got to share with you. We're so excited about the Fall Feast, Yom Kippur, Tabernacles. I got up early this morning, and I believe I got a prophetic download for you guys. And so, as a matter of fact, right in the middle of the announcements here, instead, I'm going to give you a mini sermon. The Lord just really downloaded this. As all of you know, you can read a verse in the Bible over and over, but then sometimes all of a sudden it jumps out and it makes sense, and you see things you've never seen before. Or all of a sudden the verse comes alive. Okay, are you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. This is a phenomenal, I believe, prophetic message. I don't claim to be a prophet. As a matter of fact, we're a nonprofit ministry. But I tell you what, it's not my word. I think this is a prophetic word from God's word, and I'm going to give you all the verses and explain how I believe this is the prophetic message for this hour. Get a load of this. As you know, we are ending the Torah cycle, and in a couple weeks, we're going to begin again with Genesis 1:1. Now, I have here in Hebrew across the screen, those of you that know Hebrew can read this plainly, Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashemayim ba'et ha'aretz, which means, in the beginning, created Elohim, then that Aleph Tav is not translated, the heavens and the earth. Now, the Bab, where it says and, for and the earth, you'll notice that first letter going from right to left is the letter Vav, which is connected to the Aleph and Tav. That is the first time the Vav is used. Now, Vav in Hebrew is the word and. Is there a microphone not working? What am I supposed to do with this?
Speak on that.
Oh, instead of this. Take this off. No, take it off. Use this as well. Okay. All right, we really want to get this little section here recorded. It's only going to be a few minutes, but I believe this is powerful, and I hope every single one of you will email this, social media, you know, tweet, whatever you can, Facebook, because I believe this is the message for this hour. Okay, so here we are. The word Vav, as you know in Hebrew, is the word and. It's a conjunction connecting heaven and earth. So here the Vav represents like a nail, nailing two boards together. It's a conjunction. It's a connector. So Vav is not only the word and, it not only is a connector, it's also numerically the number six. And it represents man, as man was created on the sixth day. Now, when you see the Vav connected to the beginning and the end, Aleph Tav, this also, I believe, represents Yeshua, Jesus, who is the one who connects heaven and earth. He is both God and man, and he is the great connector. Now, listen to Genesis 1, verse 6 through 8. Listen to what it goes on to say. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the first day God said, let there be light. The second day he created the firmament, separating the waters in heaven from the waters below. Okay, now get a load of this. Today is the Sabbath of return. It's known as Shabbat Shuvu. And they're having this big event called the Return in Washington, D.C., okay, this day is the Sabbath of return. If you remember, this whole last month, the month of Elul, is the month of return where we need to return to God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. And look at this. This is Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come, let us do what? Return to the Lord. He has torn us. He may heal us. He struck us down. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And guess what? After 2,000 years, we know a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And here he says, after 2 days, he will raise us up. Well, guess what? The nation of Israel, they've been revived in 1948. So this prophetically is saying, after 2 days, he will revive us. He did revive the nation of Israel. And then look at this. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight or before him. That speaks of the millennial reign when Jesus, Yeshua, rules and reigns right here on earth. We are at the cusp of that third day when he will resurrect the dead. We will all live in his sight. And then it says this. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. I tell you what. Just as you know, morning is going to rise, guess what? He is going to return. That's all there is to it. But look at this. This is what is key. He will come to us as the rain or the showers, just as the spring rains that water the earth. So Jesus, Yeshua, is compared to rain. And it even talks about how the waters of the earth, will, as it covers the sea, so will the knowledge of the Lord be. So I want you to think of the first coming and the second coming as rain coming upon the earth. But look at this. In Hosea 6:4, listen to what it goes on to say about how we need to return to the Lord. This is incredible. Look at verse 4, the very next verse about how he'll come as the rain and we need to return to him. It's God says, what will I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. So here on this slide, I have this picture that says your love is just like a cloud. And guess what?
That's how God fills his children or his spouse, depending on how you want to look at the relationship with him. And this is how Israel feels about Christians. Our love comes and goes like the clouds. We need to be steadfast in our love. This is why the church of Ephesus, the Apostle John, when he was writing that first church in Revelation, God says, you've left your first love. This is what it's talking about. Our love comes and goes for the Lord, but we need to be steadfast. Okay, now look at this. In Hosea 6:11, what does it go on to say? Look at this. It says, for you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed. God has set the harvest at appointed times. Look, you know that all the feasts of the Lord, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, were based on agricultural harvests. There was the barley harvest is Passover. Pentecost or Shavuot is the wheat harvest. That's why 3,000 got saved in one day. It's a spiritual harvest, not just a physical harvest. So God was trying to use types and shadows to speak of the final harvest. Listen to Leviticus 25, verse 20 through 22. If you say, what are we going to eat the seventh year? I've talked about the Shemitah cycles recently. And if you know, the 6 years they would plant, okay, so they could eat the next year. But the seventh year, the land had to rest. They could not plant any seed. And they're worried, well, what are we going to eat the eighth year if we don't plant anything the seventh year? And look what God says. They say, what are we going to eat the seventh year if we don't sow or gather in our crop? Look at God's response. I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. Look at this. That way, when you sow in that eighth year after the Shemitah year, you're going to be eating some of the old crop, and you shall eat the old until the ninth year when that new crop arrives. Okay, so get a load of this. As I've told you, in the Shemitah cycle, we have just entered the sixth year. This year, prophetically, that we are in right now, according to the Word of God, is the year of triple blessings. But there's a catch. I want you to get a load of this. Look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you, look at this, the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That first month is not Nisan here because he's talking about the harvest. He's talking about like the harvest at the end of the year, the harvest at the end of the age. That first month is Tishri. So everyone prophetically has been waiting for the double portion to fall from God, okay? Well, both the former and latter rain are going to happen together, combined in the month of Tishri. Now, here's what's amazing about this verse in Joel 2:23. Those of you that know Hebrew, you can look this up and confirm this, what I'm telling you. Every English translation is slightly different. I just told you where it says, give you the former rain moderately. That, I believe, is King James. Now I'm going to give you the Young's literal translation. Look at this. In Joel 2:23. And you sons of Zion, joy and rejoice in Jehovah your God, for he has given to you the teacher for righteousness and caused to come down to you a shower. And then it goes on. Then my purpose of telling you is moreh can also be rain or teacher. And so here we see who is that teacher. We know that's Yeshua, Jesus. And so it talks about his coming down as the rain, literally. Okay, now, I want you to think of Jesus as both God and man. So Messiah is the Vav, okay, and he's also the teacher that connects heaven to earth. Now, when you have this firmament in the heavens, who connects heaven to earth? We know it is Yeshua, Jesus. It is, and who is God? Okay, now I want you to watch this. In Joel 2, 24, 28, it says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. God says, I'm going to restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Do you realize when we think of God's army, we only think of angels? God says, no, no. I'll tell you who my army is. My army is made up of locusts and canker worms and caterpillars and palmer worms and coronavirus. Okay? God sends his great army, all of these things, but the purpose is to get us to return. But look what God says, because he's the God of restoration. He says this. He says, you're going to eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And then God says, guess what? My people will never be ashamed. And you're going to know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, no one else. He says again, my people will never be ashamed. It'll come to pass afterward. I will pour out my spirit. Here it is on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Wow. Well, get a load of this. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Again, he said to his disciples, the harvest indeed is abundant, but the workmen are few. Beseech ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may put forth workmen into his harvest. Okay, the problem is there's a lack of laborers. Now, when do you need laborers the most? In the sixth year, because in the sixth year is when you get triple harvest. So God is telling us in the sixth year is when you really need to be praying for laborers. And guess what? We are in the sixth year. So it's not only physical blessings, it is spiritual blessings. Now, look at this. Have you ever looked at God's name, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, put vertically? The Yud at the top is the first letter of God's name that represents God, and he's the head. The letter He means to behold, and it represents his arms reaching out to us. And then the Vav is that connector between heaven and earth. And the lower hay is the legs. This is God walking on earth, especially during the month of Elul, when he is in the field. And so I want you to realize that the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the connector between heaven and earth, and that Vav symbolizes Yeshua, who is the connecting, and it also represents the rain. Now, look at this. In Matthew 13, 37 through 39, he answered and said to them, the one that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And look at this. Here it is. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Well, that's what Revelation 14, 15, and 16 is talking about. It says another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that was sitting on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Well, guess what? I prophetically believe as we've entered this sixth year, this year is going to be prophetically one of the biggest harvests. I believe this is going to be the year of the double portion and the Spirit of God poured out upon his people like never before, because the sixth year is when you need laborers for the harvest more than any other year, because you're producing 300-fold. So get ready for this next year. People, I'm telling you, the church, God's people, better be awake. They better be willing to work in the harvest. In Proverbs, it says, shame upon those who sleep during harvest. We need to be excited right now because we have entered the triple blessing physically as well as spiritually. So get ready and hold on. Wahoo. Okay, with that said, back to the announcements. Okay, as many of you know, we have a book coming out in just a couple weeks called Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah, What an Ancient Prophet Says About Today. I tell you what, I'm very excited about this book. As a matter of fact, even though it doesn't come out in 2 weeks, I looked at it the other day. It's already the number one new release on both Kindle format and paperback. Woohoo! And guess what? There's something more right here. I have the book of Jeremiah. It has arrived. And so we're very excited about this book. And as you know, still for the next couple weeks, we have a pre-sale special. You get an autographed copy for only $15 instead of the $18 that Amazon is shipping. But that's only when you pre-order through El Shaddai Ministries. Still use this? Okay. All right. That's something that is available on our website right now. If you go to the Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah, I want you to know there are two different specials going on. One, if you order the book through Charisma, and one, if you order the book through El Shaddai. So on our website, if you want, they're offering a special. If you order from them, what you get, if you order Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah book from Charisma through our website, you will also get the Kindle version of Decoding the Jeremiah book free and the Kindle version of Decoding the Antichrist that we did last year for free. And you get a PDF copy of the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations from the modern English version as well. Plus, they have a link to my 21 videos I did on Jeremiah last year. Now, if you order the Decoding Jeremiah book from El Shaddai, you follow that link, you are going to get not only an autographed copy, but you will also get a 3-DVD set. It's about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours long, and it's called The Prophet, The Key, and Your Future, 7 Revelations for This Generation. Now, you'll notice, here's the back of the DVD case. We'll be talking about, are you able to run with the horses? This was the question God asked Jeremiah. We're going to be talking about God's purpose for the coronavirus. The Revelation references from the prophet Jeremiah. You would not believe how many times the book of Revelation references Jeremiah. We're going to talk about the consequences of the Middle East peace process. Boy, is that big. Look what's going on right now. Then we're going to look at how the chaos in Jeremiah's day parallels our day. We're going to look at the societal norms that led to the destruction of Jerusalem. No, God is with you even when you are in the fire. Finally, I have a bonus teaching where I go into the insights in the book of Revelations and bring out all kinds of Old Testament verses. There's over 600 verses in Revelation. Let me rephrase that. There's over 600 verses in the Old Testament that are referenced in the book of Revelation. So how can you understand Revelation if you don't make the connection back to the Tanakh or the Old Testament? Okay, so that is like a $20 set. We're giving it away for free. Well, we don't even have it in our store just yet. We'll have it in our store on Monday. But that whole set will be three, and it complements the Jeremiah book. There's a lot in there that isn't in the book that I cover. So we just wanted you to know you have a couple of options. Okay, with that said, let's stand, and we'll pray. We'll have a beautiful song, and then we'll jump into the Torah portion for today. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you so much that we can come before you and worship you. We thank you for this great Shabbat, that we can rest in you. And so, Father, even as I blow this shofar right now, I pray that everyone would have an ear to hear. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, if you're not ready, this one's for you. So come out of her, my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. So come out of her, my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. For her sins have reached unto the heavens. All people and nations are drunk with her wine. For in 1 hour she will be thrown down. For this is the day of the vengeance of our God. So come out of her. The time has come to judge Babylon. So come out of her, oh my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is yet to come. Heaven and earth are filled with His glory, and in that day His name shall be.
And amen. I tell you what, God's message to come out of her was to the church. It was to His own kids. It wasn't to the world. It wasn't to the pagans. God, judgment always begins in the house of the Lord. And His first message is always to His people to get them to return. Then the world would see the benefits of returning to Him, and then they would repent. Revival has to start within the body of Messiah. Now, get a load of this. Our Torah portion today, as we're getting near to the last chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, which happened the last few days of Moses' life, the Torah portion is called Ha'azinu, which means to give ear or to listen, to hear, not only to hear, but to hear and obey. And within this is the very song of Moses that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. We know that in Revelation, it talks about how they sing the song of Moses. Well, guess what? How many of us also know in the first part of Revelation, when God is speaking to the churches, He says, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." Those are direct references back to Deuteronomy. Well, God gives the song of Moses, and He's telling His people to give ear, to listen. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 30. It says, "Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." So we're going to look at the words of this song. Look how it begins with Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. He's saying, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Wow. He gives ears to the sun. He gives ears to the moon. He gives ears to the earth. And Remember, everything is done by the mouth of two or three witnesses. God is speaking to us, and he's asking the heavens and the earth to hear the words of his mouth. Okay, this is a calling of heavenly witnesses. God is calling both heaven and earth to give witness of his faithfulness, specifically to Israel. Now, concerning the heavens and the earth being witnesses, I can't help but think of eclipses. Hello, eclipses speak loudly to the earth, the people on the earth, which is why those four blood moons in 2015, 2014, at the end of a Shemitah cycle, the beginning of a Shemitah cycle, they are God's witnesses proclaiming the time that we are in. Now, listen to this. Psalms 89 also is tied to the Song of Moses. Look at Psalm 89:37. Concerning God's relationship with David and the Jewish people, it will be established forever just as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. So here God is calling witnesses, and the moon is one of his witnesses. Look at verse 3 and 4 of Deuteronomy 32. It says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. He is a God of truth. He's without iniquity. He is just and he is right. So the Song of Moses, when we're singing it from Deuteronomy, what do we see? We see God is the rock. God is great. His works are perfect. His ways are just and true and right. That's Deuteronomy 32. Well, let's look at what the song says in Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb. It's not two different songs, it's the same song. And what are they saying? Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of Saints. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. All the nations are going to come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest. It's the same song, guys. So if you want to understand Revelations, you got to understand Deuteronomy 31 and 32. Now, like I said, Revelation 13, 9, he that has an ear, let him hear. Okay, that's Ha'azinu, give ear. This is tied, this Torah portion, which is given for today, is a time about God's judgments, and we're right between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the 10 days of all the time of judgment. Tomorrow night, the books close. Now look at Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech. There are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all of the earth and their words to the end of the world. Why is that? Because it doesn't matter what language you speak. Everyone understands the glory of God when it speaks from the heavens. Wow. Now look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. What happened? Oh my goodness. They've dealt corruptly with their God, with their father. It says they're not his children because of their defect. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Can you imagine that? The generation that saw all the miracles in Egypt, the generation that lived for 40 years in the wilderness, they were known as a crooked and a perverse generation. When Yeshua walked on the earth, his generation was known as a crooked and perverse generation. And now, right before his return, Yeshua asked, will I find faith on earth in that generation? Well, look at this. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 6. And it says, do you do this to the Lord, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you, who created you, who established you? Oh my goodness, did you know that this is the very first time God is referred to as a father? Right here in the Song of Moses. And he's asking you, oh you foolish people, is this how you act this way to the Lord? Well, I'm going to show you something you only see in Hebrew, you never see in English, but in this verse, there is an enlarged letter hey. Wow, why is this hey enlarged? What does that hey mean? Well, if you remember earlier during the announcements, I had told you that hey means to behold. It means to reveal. And here we have this large letter hey right at the beginning. And we also talk about God's glory. All right. Now, I showed you during the announcement, here is God's name written vertically, the Yud, He, Vav, He. Well, look at Genesis 2:4. In Genesis 2:4, after God created the heavens and the earth, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day God made the earth and the heavens. Well, guess what? Where it talks about later, it talks about after Adam was created, and it mentions how all of a sudden in the generations of Adam that Vav is shrunk. Well, the hay is enlarged, okay? But that's what I want to show you, how the hay is enlarged. But in that verse, when they were created, the letter hay is diminished. Why is that letter hay diminished? Here we find the hay enlarged in Deuteronomy, but in Genesis, the hay is diminished. Why is the hay diminished? Because this is when Satan fell. Okay, and so the glory of God was slightly diminished by Satan's fall. But here in Deuteronomy, we see the hay is enlarged. And why is the hay enlarged? Because the glory of God is returning back to the earth. Now, let's look at Psalm 89. This is verse 26 through 29. Again, Psalm 89 is connected to the Song of Moses. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. We just got done reading in the Song of Moses how God is the rock. And then look what it says. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant will stand fast with him. Look at this concerning Judah. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. That's why it's so absurd for the church to believe in replacement theology that they've replaced Israel. No, we're grafted into that covenant. Matter of fact, look what Psalms 89, referring back to the Song of Moses, says in verse 30 through 36. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my own holiness, God says, I will not lie to David. His seed will endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. This is incredible. Let's go back to the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32:10. Look at this. It says, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. What does that mean? God's whole focus was on the nation of Israel. Israel and the land of Israel was the apple of his eye. That's what he was focused on. And I don't have this verse, but God says his Torah, his law, is to be the apple of our eye. That's what we're supposed to be focused on. And you know what? I just thought of this. If you're eye to eye with the Lord and you look in his pupils, you're going to see his Torah. Okay? And the land of Israel. You're gonna look in the Lord's eyes, and what are you going to see? What is the pupil of his eye? The land of Israel. And when God looks in your eye, what does he want to see? The Torah. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see in your eyes the Torah. That is incredible. Okay. Now, look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 15 through 18. Here's what happens. And this is the problem. I'm telling you right now, prophetically, this is the problem of this year we're in, the year of triple blessing. You know, God, with great trepidation, blesses people. Especially with triple blessings. And you want to know why? Because look at this. It says Yeshurun or Israel waxed fat and kicked. You are waxing fat. You're grown thick. You're covered with fatness. And what happened after they were so blessed? They forsook God who made them. They lightly esteemed that rock of their salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to devils, not to God, to gods whom they did not know, to gods that newly came up, whom your fathers didn't fear, of the rock that gave birth to you. You are unmindful, and you've forgotten God that formed you. I tell you what, right now, I really believe prophetically that this year is the year of triple blessings, both physically and spiritually. And God is looking for laborers in the harvest that when they are blessed, they won't forget Him. They won't forget His work. So here at El Shaddai Ministries, we are reaching out to all of you that are watching. Will you be co-laborers with us in being a light to the nations? We're asking all of you to co-labor. Now it's a clarion call. We want everyone to be co-laborers with us, especially this year as we bring in the harvest. Thank you for co-laboring with us. Look at Isaiah 1, verse 2 and 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. And look what he says. I've nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. My people don't even consider this. And to think about it, when God left the temple, when it was destroyed in 586, 587 BC, the people drove God out. They wanted to replace him with their own pagan gods. That is just horrible. Look at Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 through 13. It says they refused to give ear, Hazinu. They refused to listen. They even pulled away their shoulder. They stopped up their ears that they should not hear. Yes, they made their heart as an adamant stone that they should hear the law, the Torah. I don't want to hear the law. It's all done away with. And the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit, the law and the spirit are not opposites. They go together. By the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it shall come to pass that when they cried, and they, as God cried out, God cries out, and it says they would not hear. So guess what? When his people cry out, he's not going to hear, says the Lord of hosts. That is absolutely incredible. This is why in Romans 1, around 18 through 20, it speaks of how the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those who hold the truth and unrighteousness. How do you hold the truth and unrighteousness? You have the truth. How can you hold the truth unrighteously? What that is speaking is about is God is trying to open the door of his laws, of his commands, but you're holding the door back because you don't want to hear the truth because you think if you don't hear it, then you're not responsible. That's who God's greatest judgment comes to, is the people who think if they don't hear it, they're not accountable. Wow. That's heavy. Okay. Look at Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19. It says, thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk in it and you will find what? Rest for your souls. This is actually a quote found in Matthew 11, verse 29. But it goes on and says, but look what they said. We don't want to walk in your paths, God. So God says, I'm going to set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the shofar. But they said, we're not going to listen. Therefore, he says, hear you nations and know congregation, what is among them? Hear, earth, Hazinu. Behold, I'm going to bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their own thoughts. Why? Because they've not listened to my words. And as for my law that they think is done away with, they've totally rejected it. This is the word of the Lord in Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 20 and 21. So God says this, I'm going to hide my face from them and I'm going to see what their end will be. For they are a very fraudulent generation. In other words, they're full of pretense. They confess the Lord. They praise the Lord with their mouth, but their hearts are far from him. Children in whom is no faith. God says, look, they moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They provoked me to anger with their vanities. And God says, I'm going to move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Wow. Romans 10, 19 and 20. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. See, here he's quoting the song of Moses. But Isaiah is very bold, and he said, I was found of them that weren't even looking for me. I was made manifest to them, to those that didn't even ask for me. Well, look at Romans 11, 11 and 12. This gives the explanation. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, what? Salvation is come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. The Gentiles are that foolish nation that are provoking Israel to jealousy as we fall in love with God and as we keep his commandments. And it says, if the fall of them is the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Well, I believe that time is coming, as I quoted earlier in the announcement, that God is going to open up the eyes of Judah and they're going to return. Okay, look at Jeremiah 16, 19. This is a very famous verse that the Christians need to get a hold of. It says, O Lord, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles are going to come to you from the ends of the earth. Well, that's not the pagans. And it says, and they're going to say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity and things wherein there is no profit. We need to rethink what a lot of the early church fathers said. Look at Deuteronomy 32, 26 and 27. I said I would scatter them to the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord has done all of this. So in other words, they think they're the ones who are diminishing Israel, not the Lord. So look what God says he's going to do in Deuteronomy 32, 41 and 42. He says, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand will take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies. I will reward those that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword will devour flesh and that with the blood of the slain and the captives from the beginning of the revenges on the enemy. Well, this is why in Revelation 19, 15, it says out of his mouth goes what? It's the sharp sword he's talking about, that with it he would smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron and tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Okay, it goes on to say in Revelation 19, how God is going to be slain with the sword of him who sat on the horse, whose sword proceeds out of his mouth, and that sword is the word of God. Look at Deuteronomy 32, 43. It says, rejoice, O you nations, with his people, not against his people, for he's going to avenge the blood of his servants. Wow. Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, quoted in Revelation. So we have to connect the dots here. And it says, rejoice, O you Gentiles, with his people Israel. Why? Because God is going to avenge the blood of his servants Israel. He's going to render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful to his land and his people. His land is Israel. It's not Argentina. His people are Israel. Now, look at this. Here's Revelation 19, again, quoting this Deuteronomy 32. For true and righteous are his judgments. He's judged the great whore which corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he now has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. That is not just Christians. That's also all the Jewish believers for the last 4,000 years. This is a direct reference. As a matter of fact, here in Deuteronomy 32, where I said, rejoice, O you nations, with his people, look at Romans 15, 8 through 12. Now I say Messiah has been made a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, here it is. Therefore will I give praise to you among the Gentiles and sing what? The song of Moses to your name. Again, he says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people praise him. Again, Isaiah even says, there will be the root of Jesse, he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles will trust. This is telling us there is someone from the tribe of Judah, a Jew, who is going to rule over the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are going to trust in this Jewish person. That could be none other than Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Matter of fact, we see this in Isaiah 11, 1. There'll come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch will grow out of his roots. And look at verse 9 and 10. It says this, and they will not hurt or destroy him, all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be this root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign to the people, and to it, this branch, or to him shall the Gentiles seek. And that rest is going to be glorious. We'll close here, Deuteronomy 32:44. So Moses spoke all these words to the congregation. Now the Haftorah is 2 Samuel 22:1-4. And it's because, look at this, that David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day the Lord delivered him. And look what he says. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is speaking about the song of Moses here. All right. And he goes on and he says, you are the one who saved me from violence. Well, I tell you what, we're living in a very violent age, and God will save you from violence. Psalms 18 goes on to say, the Lord is my rock. This is quoting the song of Moses. That's in verse 1 and 2. And verse 30 through 33, we see this also quotes the song of Moses. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. And who is the rock like our God? In verse 46 and 47, the Lord lives and blessed be my rock. Okay, all of these are quoting the song of Moses. 2 Samuel 22:32-34. For who is God except the Lord, and who's a rock? You know what this tells you? Look at verse 47 and 48. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. This tells you from the New Testament, Peter is not the rock. Peter is a little pebble. Jesus, Yeshua, is the big rock in Matthew 18:21. It goes on, Peter says, how often shall I forgive my brother up to seven times? And in Matthew 18:35, he says, each one of us from our heart has to forgive his brother his trespasses. I tell you what, we have a big commandment this year that we need, if we want to be triply blessed, we need to be forgiving one another. With that said, let's stand. We'll close with prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, I thank you so much as I prophetically speak your words that this is the sixth year. We know this is the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. It's the year of blessings. And I pray, Lord, above all things, that the people that are listening will prosper even as their soul prospers. And I pray a triple blessing physically, a triple blessing spiritually. But my big prayer, God, is that that will not destroy those everyone that's watching, all those watching. Father, may this triple year of spiritual blessing, this big year of revival, let us not think that it's our hand that brought us this wealth, that it's not our hand who saved souls. We saved nobody. You're the Savior. And so, Father, I just pray that you would bring laborers into this harvest. This is it. Now's the time. It doesn't do any good for the laborer to come at the end of the harvest and say, hey, how can I help? It's over. You missed it. So, Father, I thank you right now for all those all over the world, all the United States that are going to labor here with El Shaddai as we take your Torah to the nations, which I believe is going to be one of the most prophetic revival years in history. And we thank you in Yeshua's name together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, Creator and King of the universe. You have blessed us with your Torah of truth. You have blessed us with the whole counsel of your living word by the power of your Holy Spirit through the completed work of Messiah Yeshua. You alone have planted among us life eternal. Blessed are you, Lord our God. Amen. Take a break. We're going to have a time of worship.
Hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Hallelujah. Sing this song if you know it. Gadol Elohai. Oh, Elohai. Shem. Shem me'al kol shem. Otcha ra'ui le'alem. Libi yashir ki gadol. God,
Gadol Elohai,
Gadol Elohai, Shiuki Gadol Elohai, Kol Chadive, Ki Gadol. Gadol Elohai, Gadol Elohai, Shiuki Gadol Elohai, Kol Chadive, Ki Gadol, Gadol Elohai, Gadol Elohai. Shiuki Gadol Elohai, Kol Chadive, Ki Gadol Elohai, Gadol Elohai, Kamu Gadol. Sing it together. How great our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Gadol Elohai, Shiuki Gadol Elohai, Kol Chadive, Ki Gadol Elohai. Sing this together, name above all names. My heart will sing. My heart will sing. How great is our God. Name above all names. Name above all names. You are worthy, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing. How great. Our God. Oh, 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 you are great. Oh, 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 greatly to be praised. Oh, 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 how great is our God. to be praised. Oh, 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 how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all see how great, how great. Gadol Elohai Shivuki, Gadol Elohai Kol Chadile, Ki Gadol Elohai. May Washington see how great, may Tacoma see how great is our God. May America see how great, may the nation see how great is the God of Israel. Lord, we'll see how great, may they see how great. Oh, how you are great, you are great, how great, how great is our God. Lord, we'll see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this one more chorus before we continue. Just a simple chorus. It might be on the next CD. I will see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you, Yeshua. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you, Yeshua. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you, Yeshua. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you. We want to be close to you, Yeshua. Tell me, we want more of you, Lord. Hurt me many, less of me. We want to be more, want more of you. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you, Yeshua. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you, Yeshua. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you, Yeshua. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, our Savior isn't hanging on a cross right now. You know that, right? He's alive and well. As we said earlier, we know he's coming back soon. But when he came 2,000 years ago, our people were crying out to him. And I know here in America, we'd say they were saying Hosanna, but they were actually quoting scripture. They were saying two words, Hoshiana, save, please, or save, I beseech you. They wanted him to grab a sword and take down the Romans. They were the oppressors. They were the ones who were forcing us to speak the Greek language. They're the ones who took over our country. And after Messiah came, hunted us in the mountains and tried to kill every last one or drive us out. They wanted him to pick up a sword and take over, as they say in the hood. They wanted him to take over. But he did something much, much more powerful. He conquered sin. He conquered sin. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's still sin in this world, of course. But now we have no way to make a sacrifice for sins. We have no way. There's no temple. Just as Messiah had said, just as the prophets had said, Daniel, he would come. Then the temple would be destroyed. So he came the time God said he would come. Now there's no way to make a sacrifice. But he did it once for all. How powerful is that? That's the very reason we don't know what sacrifice is, because he ended it 2,000 years ago. But when they were crying out Hosanna, they wanted something different. They wanted him as this conquering king. They wanted him to be on a white horse with a sword and his angel armies. But that will happen. That will happen. Amen? First things first. But this phrase is so powerful, I think. Just to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save, please. Nah, please, I beseech you. And I wrote this song a little while back, just praying for those around me that didn't know God fully. You know, even Messiah himself says, you don't know the Father unless you know the Son. So if you don't know the Savior today, if you don't know Mashiach, Yeshua, you know his name simply means salvation, Yeshua. If you don't know him, maybe this would be your song tonight. If you know somebody who needs to be rescued, whether it be spiritually or physically, maybe this is a song you need to pray over them as well. Hosanna. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid, Lord? Whom shall I be afraid? Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, salvation, no other name by which we are saved, but the name of the Lord. Oh, that the world will know your name. Oh, that the nations will call on the name of the Lord.
Sing it.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Of whom will be afraid? No one but you, O Lord. Father, at this time, I want to lift up your people, the sheep of your pasture, all of those who are here locally, all of those who are live streaming from all over the world. Father, we want to commit them into your hands. Father, we want to pray for all those that need physical healing. There are many people who have injuries or diseases. And Father, right now, we want to lift up all of those who need help, who need a physical healing, a physical touch from you. Not only that, Lord, all those that need spiritual healing. There are those who have rejected you, who've run from you. We prayed that you would put a heart in them to fall in love with you as our Creator. Father, that they would run to you. That they would run to you with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength and make a commitment and say, Abba, you're our daddy, you're our father. We want to commit ourselves to you. Father, I want to pray right now for families. Father, that you would touch the heart of all families. Father, that they would just fall in love with you. And Lord, I just pray right now for financial blessings. This is the year of triple blessings, but it's only for those who have ears to hear what you say, that do not forsake your law. The triple blessing is for those who do your law. So Father, not only physically, but spiritually, we're praying for revival. And revival is coming back to you, Lord. And so I pray right now for spiritual revival to take place this year like never before, that double portion to be poured out of your spirit. And Lord, right now, I also want to pray for our nation and all of you from all the other nations watching. Lift up your nation as well right now. Father, we pray for the military leaders, the political leaders, the religious leaders. Father, that you would smite their hearts, that they too would turn to you. I want to believe for national revivals, even as you say in Matthew, in that gospel, how all the nations will be separated as sheep and goat nations. Father, I pray that the nations all over the world that are watching, that they would be sheep nations and not goat nations, that everyone within each nation would be praying for their leaders. Finally, Lord, we want to pray for the nation of Israel itself. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. And we pray for repentance among the Jewish people, that they too would return back to your Torah. Father, that they would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to understand. Father, that they too would repent and return to you. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. I have one clarification announcement for the big Sukkot party. Not tomorrow, but next Sunday, we're going to have the virtual tour of Israel from 10 to 11 all over the world. But then the local congregation are going to come here. We're going to have a big picnic here from noon till 3. But I wanted a clarification on bringing food. What that means is bringing a sack lunch. So we want to be careful because of food cross-contamination kind of thing. We'll be supplying bottles of water, but bring your own lunch to feed yourself, but we'll still party together. And then again, I just also want to mention the Decoding Jeremiah. We've got the books in stock. Yay! The book is released in a few weeks. And here is the prophet, the key in your future, seven revelations for this generation. And it's a 3-DVD set, which we're giving away for free for those who pre-order the book of Jeremiah. But right now, here we are, the book of Ezekiel. The Bible says that God declared the end from the beginning, so we have to look at the beginning to understand the end. Ecclesiastes 1, it says there's nothing new under the sun. That which has happened is that which will happen again. So if we want to know the future, we have to look at the past. So let's start with Ezekiel. We're now in chapter 16. And let's look at verse 1 through 3. And let's always be thinking as we read this, how does it apply today? We want to make the Bible practical. Okay, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, and he said, son of man, I want you to make Jerusalem to know what all of her abominations have been. And this is what I want you to say. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, here it is, your birth and your nativity is of the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. Okay, so I have the nation here. I have this big eagle sitting over Israel. But take a look at this. Let me go ahead and make this little eagle fly away for the moment. Okay, so there we are. You can see there's Jerusalem, there's Israel, Jordan, you know, Egypt. But Israel was Canaan at the beginning. And when this tells us that your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite, they are the ones who originally founded the city. You know, later when David made war, it was called Jebus. And then David is the one who renamed it as Jerusalem. But here, Ezekiel's talking about the origins of Jerusalem. This was from last week. Now, but I want you to jump to Ezekiel 16, verse 59 through 63, it says, for thus says the Lord God, I'm going to deal with you just as you have done. This is the biblical concept of measure for measure. As you have done to others, so God will do to you. Look at it says, you have despised the oath, you broke the covenant. And yet God says, nevertheless, I'm going to remember my end of this bargain of the covenant with you in the days of your youth. I will establish you an everlasting covenant. How long is everlasting? It's a long time. It says, then you will remember your ways and you're going to be ashamed. Look at this. When you receive your sisters, your elder and your younger, I will give them to you for daughters. Now, who was their elder and younger sister? It was Samaria and Sodom of Sodom and Gomorrah. They now become Jerusalem's daughters. They move from sisters to daughters. How can this happen? It's not by the same covenant, it says, that God gave to Jerusalem. He says, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I'm the Lord Why? He says that you may remember and be confounded, and you will just shut your mouth. You will never open your mouth anymore because of your shame when I am pacified toward you for all that you have done, says the Lord God. In other words, this is what we need to realize. Sometimes people in Christianity and also within Israel, but among believers, they'll come across like, well, your abomination is worse than my abomination. They're both committing abominations. What are we saying? Your abomination is worse than my abomination. Okay? But here's the other thing. We need to find out true spiritual origins are from above, not below. Listen to this. Galatians 4, 22 through 31. This is in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. It says, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are what? An allegory. For these are the two covenants. Look at this. The one was from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is representative of Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children as well. But look at this. There's a Jerusalem in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem that descends from heaven down to earth when there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that Jerusalem is the mother of us all. For as it is written, it says, rejoice, you barren that bears not. Break forth and cry, you that travail not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. And now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so, it's the same now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? It says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman will not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Okay, let me put this in plain English. I believe the time is coming when all the nations, just as they are now, are going to rally around Jerusalem, and Israel will become the spiritual mother at the time when the Torah goes forth from Zion, and natural Israel will be humbled and no longer haughty, feeling morally superior to the other nations. See, here's what happened. Jerusalem was looking at Samaria. Oh, wow, you got taken away because you worshiped idols. And they say to Sodom, oh, you are evil with all of your sins. God destroyed you. But God is saying, look, Judah, you're doing worse than both of them. And so I'm going to exalt those two and give them to you for daughters. But guess how that happens? That only happens spiritually. I believe there's a rebirth happening among all the nations of the world. They're all coming back to the Messiah. But people need to realize that that is speaking of the new birth, the promise. Ezekiel 17, look at this, verse 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and he says, son of man, I want you to put forth a riddle. I want you to speak a parable to the house of Israel and say, thus saith the Lord. Let me see where I'm at. Oh, let me go back on my little PowerPoint. Okay, here we are. Look at this. And the put forth a riddle, speak a parable to the house of Israel and say this, thus says the Lord God. Now watch. A great eagle having great wings, long winged, full of feathers, had diverse colors, came to Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic, and he set it in a city of merchants. So here's my little eagle. He's got this twig and he heads over to Babylon. Okay, what is this talking about? It's a riddle. So we have to figure out the riddle. I'm going to tell you the riddle, the answer. All right. Who was that young twig? That young twig was King Jehoiakim, who became king at 18 years old and only ruled for 3 months before Nebuchadnezzar, represented by the eagle, hauls him, his mother, and thousands of captives off to Babylon. Okay. So that's what that's about. Let's look at 2 Kings 24, 8 through 12. Jehoiakim was only 18 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem for 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And look at this. He only ruled 3 months, and he did great evil in the sight of the Lord, just like his father did. And at the time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, they came against Jerusalem. The city was besieged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes against the city. His servants did besiege it. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon with his mother, his servants, his princes, his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of the king of Babylon's reign, because it was only 3 months of his reign. But look at this. Here's Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. He also took of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters, set up as a willow tree. It grew, became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him and the roots were under him. It became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. Okay, this is referring to the next king. This is King Zedekiah, because after Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar took away the king of Israel, he did not put a foreign king in. He left a Jewish king of Israel there, but he did not become any big tree. He's a simple little vine. Okay, now look at this. There's another eagle. We're about to read about another eagle. And look, this eagle is not Babylon. This eagle represents Egypt. Look at what it says. In Ezekiel 17, 7 and 8, it says, there was also another eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine, or the nation of Israel, bent its roots toward this eagle and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Okay, so what happens? This goes back to when the year before Israel was destroyed, Egypt was coming to protect Israel from Babylon, and Israel did not put their trust in the Lord. They put it in Egypt. And so what do we find in Jeremiah 37, 5 through 8? This is mind-blowing. Look at this. Pharaoh's army had come out from Egypt. The Chaldeans who were attacking Jerusalem heard news and went away from Jerusalem. And then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, this is what you're to say to the king of Judah, who sent you to get directions from me. He says, see Pharaoh's army, which has come out to your help. Guess what? He's going to go back to Egypt, to his own land, and then the Chaldeans are going to come back and make war against this town, and they will take it and put it on fire. And this was because, as we read in Jeremiah, here Israel decided to keep the Shemitah year and set the captive free. But when Babylon left, they gave the credit to Egypt, not to God. They put everyone back into bondage again, and so God came back the following year and destroyed the temple. As a matter of fact, look at this in Ezekiel 17, 9 and 10. Say thou, thus says the Lord God, is it going to prosper? You know, the vine bending toward this other eagle representing Egypt. It says, shall he not pull up the roots and cut off the fruit, that it wither? It will wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power of many people to pluck it up by the roots. Yea, behold, being planted, will it prosper? Will it not utterly wither? When the east wind touches it, it will wither in the furrows where it grew. Okay, so I'm explaining this riddle to you. So let's look at Ezekiel 17, 11 through 14, and watch as this unfolds. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say now to this rebellious house, he's referring to Jerusalem, don't you know what this riddle means and all of this? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem. He's taken the king and the princes, as we just read, and led them with him to Babylon. And he's taken of the king's seed, that's the next king, Zedekiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar put in charge, and he made a covenant with him. Watch this. He makes a covenant with Zedekiah, and he had taken an oath. He has also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand. So here's what's happening. Nebuchadnezzar, and if you remember, King Josiah had two wives. And there's a political battle going on between which wife, whose son will be king. Okay, so now Nebuchadnezzar is making a deal with Zedekiah. We're not going to let the other mother's kid be king. We're going to let you be king. Okay, and he made a covenant with Zedekiah. But look what Zedekiah did in Ezekiel 17, 15 through 19. He rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. How? By sending ambassadors to Egypt asking for help. that they might give him horses and much people. Then he says, is this going to prosper? Shall he escape that does such things? Shall he break the covenant and be delivered? Here's what God is saying. Israel broke their covenant with him. And so what does he do? He puts a human king over Israel who makes a covenant with them. And then Israel breaks the covenant with the human king as well. And it says, look at this. As I live, says the Lord God, surely in this place where the king dwells that made him king, whose oath he despised, whose covenant he broke, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he's going to die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts, building forts to cut off many people. Look at why. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and has done all these things, he shall not escape. So I think it's interesting that just as Israel did not keep covenant with the Lord that they might remain a nation, they rebelled. And here Babylon makes a covenant with them that they may remain a nation, but they rebel again against that covenant as well. So now they are taken away as a nation. When you lift your hand, back then it was a handshake or a promise, but they weren't faithful in the natural. They weren't faithful in the spiritual. Here they're relying on Egypt. Look at Isaiah 36:6. God says, lo, you're trusting in this staff of this broken reed on Egypt, where if a man leans on it, it's going to pierce his hand when he leans on it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. We cannot trust in man. We have to trust in God. Look at 2 Kings 24, verse 17 and 18. Here the king of Babylon makes Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to what? Zedekiah. And look at this. Zedekiah was just a kid himself. He was only 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years. Now think about this. Why would Nebuchadnezzar change Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah? Why would he give him another Hebrew name? I'll tell you why. Zedekiah means the righteousness of God. He named Zedekiah the righteousness of God to remind Zedekiah of God's righteousness and justice if he breaks the covenant and oath to serve Nebuchadnezzar. This is incredible. Well, look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 11 through 13. Again, Zedekiah was 21 years old. He reigned 11 years. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at this. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And here it is. He also rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck. He hardened his heart from turning to the Lord God of Israel. Can you believe it? This pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, made Zedekiah swear by the Lord, okay, to keep the covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. So not only did Zedekiah break his covenant with the Lord, he even broke his covenant sworn to the Lord before Nebuchadnezzar. This is why the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. So look at this. This is Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. It says, therefore says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath is what he despised. My covenant is what he broke. Even so, I'm going to recompense this upon his own head. I will spread my net on him. He'll be taken in my snare. I'll bring him to Babylon. And he says, that's where I'm going to plead with him for his trespass, that he trespassed against me. All his fugitives with all his bands will fall by the sword. Those that remain will be scattered toward the winds, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Wow. There it is. Now, here's something I want to point out, which is quite fascinating. This is from Revelation 17, verse 3. Here, John is carried away in the spirit to the wilderness. I can't help but think of Ezekiel being carried away in the spirit to Jerusalem. But here, what does he see? He sees a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, has seven heads and 10 horns. Okay, this woman is the mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Now, here's the thing. If you are this woman sitting on the scarlet beast, who's supposed to be in control? Does the horse control the rider, or is the rider supposed to control the horse? Here, this woman is looking at as if she's in control of the scarlet-colored beast. But look what happens in Revelation 17, 12, and 13. the 10 horns, okay, which are the heads of this beast, which you saw are 10 kings, they haven't even received a kingdom as of yet, but they receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. They have one mind, and that is to give their power and strength to the beast. Notice, these 10 horns that are on the head of the beast don't give their power to the woman who's riding the beast. They give the power to the beast. So here we see a religious system and a political system that have been working together. The woman represents the religious system. The beast, the 10 horns, represent the political system who's just using the religious system, and they break covenant with the religious system. Look at Revelation 17, 16, and 17. The 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these are going to hate the whore, the woman who's riding the beast, and they're going to make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give kingdom, their kingdom, to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. You see a lot of alliances that are going on, and prophetically, I'm telling you, you're going to see a big political alliance and a religious alliance coming, but it is only for one purpose, and it is for the political purpose, and they're going to throw off the religious woman off of this beast, and they're just using her to get political control. Okay, look at Ezekiel 17, verse 22 and 23. Let's go back to this parable, this allegory, this riddle, and see what we can understand. Thus says the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch, of the highest cedar, and I will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs, look at this, a tender one. And I will plant it upon a high mountain, and it will be eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel, I plant it, and look at this. It's going to bring forth boughs, it's going to bear fruit, and it's going to be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. Let me interpret this part of this riddle for you. Guess what? God always saves a remnant for himself. Even within the nation, there is a remnant that God is saving for himself. I think it's fascinating about this, the highest branch of the highest cedar. He's going to crop off a tender twig. Who could that be as we're looking at this riddle? Well, guess what? Let's look at the very next verse, Ezekiel 17, 24. And all the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, let's stop there. When it talks about the trees of the field clapping their hands, that's referring to people. And when we read about how all these other nations, okay, are, it says, I will, let's go back here. It says, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. What that means is, this is speaking of the messianic kingdom when Yeshua reigns for 1,000 years here on earth, and every nation has to come up to Jerusalem to worship the king. And this, what this is saying is, there's a highest branch of the highest cedar, a tender branch. That's referring to Jesus, Yeshua. That's who it's referring to. And every fowl, in other words, every bird of every nation or all people are going to come under that shadow of the Messiah who rules and reigns in Jerusalem. This is why there's a big battle for Jerusalem, because the demonic forces do not want Jerusalem to be the throne of God. And every fowl of every nation coming to worship there. And so what do we see? All the trees of the field refers to all, the field is the world. In the Gospels, if you remember earlier, when the angels are the reapers, it says the harvest, okay, is the earth, okay? It's the world is the field, I mean. That's what the world is, the field. And when it says all the trees of the field, that means people out of every single nation are going to know that the Lord is the one who brought down the high tree, or humbled the proud, exalted the low tree, and has dried up the green tree and has made the dry tree to flourish. Now, when he talks about the dry tree to flourish, he says, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. I'm the one who's done it. When have we ever seen a dry, dead twig flourish? This is Aaron's rod that budded. Okay, when God was showing that Aaron was the one that should have the priesthood, and that to have a dry rod that not, or a dead branch that not only buds but brings forth fruit, this speaks of the resurrection of the dead. That's what this is speaking of. And so the Lord is saying that the resurrection of the dead is going to be taking place, and that branch, that tender shoot, refers to the Messiah. Look at Isaiah. This is chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch will grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This branch in Isaiah is the very branch Ezekiel speaking of, and it's the Messiah. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 21. Your people also shall be all righteous. They will inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands. But the purpose is not so they can be glorified. It's so the Lord can be glorified, because it's showing how he keeps covenant. Now, get a load of this. Here's Jeremiah, chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. As I live, this is going to be heavy, guys. Hold on to your shorts. As I live, says the Lord, though Coniah, now Coniah is shorthand for Jeconiah. He's the king that was 18 years old that Nebuchadnezzar hauled off to Babylon. That's the context, just like in Ezekiel. Now look at this. Even though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, was the signet or the ring on my right hand, yet would I still pluck you out of there, and I will give you to the hand of those that seek your life, and into the hand of those whose face you fear, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. But look what happens now in Jeremiah 22. Here it is, verse 30. This is speaking about Jeconiah, the 18-year-old king who got hauled off to Babylon. Thus says the Lord, look at this. Write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed will prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This is speaking of King Jeconiah, who was hauled off to Babylon at 18 years of age. He's to be written off as childless. He is the also, in one sense, that broken branch that's been broken off and to be written as childless. And yet, look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17. We see that he has children. What in the world? How can the Bible say he isn't going to have children? And then it says he does have children. And look at the name. One of his children and grandchildren is Shealtiel. Who is Shealtiel? Well, look at Haggai chapter 2, 23. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, who's even the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you as what? As that signet ring that he was talking about before concerning Jeconiah, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. So wait a minute. Do you know, if you go to, I believe, Gospel of Matthew, when it talks about the genealogy of Messiah, Messiah comes from Jeconiah. What? How can this be? Well, guess what? It is said, great is Shuva, or repentance, as though through it one can be made into a new creation. Jeconiah repented while he was in Babylon. He became a new creation, which is why he was born from above, and the Messiah came through him. It is on account of his repentance that Messiah would come. Thus, the top of the young twigs, which seemed to be destined to a barren exile in Babylon, it was really the young shoot to which God himself was planting, so the Messiah would come from and one day would cast his shadow over all of mankind. Such is the power of repentance. Wow. They say repentance was created at the beginning of the world because God knew that we would need to repent and that we would sin. Today is the day. Yom Kippur is tomorrow night when the books are closed. If you're ever going to return to the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, today is the day. Tomorrow is good, but tomorrow night the books are closed on Yom Kippur. And I ask all of you, if you don't know the Messiah as your Lord and Savior, today's the day to do it. And I just thank you for it. And I just pray that all of you will have a great Yom Kippur. Some of you we will see tomorrow night. With that said, let's stand and let's close in prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, I just thank you so much for your Torah and everything that you're doing. We pray for many laborers in the harvest. I pray for many co-laborers with us. Father, the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. And we're now entering the sixth year. This is the year of the triple blessing, both physically and spiritually. So, Father, I pray that there'll be many people who repent this year and turn to you, because the harvest is about the harvest of your kingdom, as many people turn to you in righteousness. With that said, I want to close with the priestly blessing, that not only would the Lord bless you, but he would put his name upon you. Ivarekeka Adonai v'ish mereka. Ya'er Adonai panavileka v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai panavileka v'yasem leka shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In that most wonderful name, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Go and be full, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Blessings.